Welcome to Magical Mondays with the psychic cowgirl Shannon and psychic sidekick Virginia. We will be discussing metaphysical topics, psychic and intuitive development, and self-empowerment. Join us for information, laughter, and connection each Monday. Thanks for being here. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Magical Mondays with myself, Shannon, the psychic cowgirl, and my buddy, Virginia. Hi, Virginia.
Hi, Shannon. How are you?
I am good. So before we go any further, you need to tell everybody what your new website address is.
It is virginiablank.com. Very easy.
Very easy. So you could Google
I'm so
her.
Excited. Yes.
Your website looks fabulous.
Thank you. You had some help in that.
Being that I was nudging you.
Constantly.
True.
But I needed True. It, so, that... so it wasn't, it was taken very well.
It's because I wanted you to have to juggle like I do. No.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
Which is why we're talking about it tonight.
Yes. And how fun that you got your website live. And we're telling people today because, yes, because it is going to bring more juggling to your life.
Mm-hmm.
Just how it goes. So good, though.
Yeah. I'm kind of mentally prepared for it. And I think that was a huge part of the whole process was me getting mentally prepared for everything and telling myself that it's going to be a huge change and shift of my focus and my energy. It's that whole positive thinking thing, you know.
Yeah. Well, and because you know that when you take a step, take a leap, and put yourself out there more, it will just bring more opportunities, and you do want to be ready.
Yes.
So worth it, though. So let's talk about... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say I agree.
Good, good. So when we were picking topics for the show, I really liked that you came up with this one because I've been talking about it lately, trying to juggle all the stuff I have going on, and I came to the realization that I have to let some of it go because I know stuff with Goddess Power, my business, is getting busier, and there's some stuff that I get to do. And so I need to make space to be able to do that because I need to create some things. So, yeah, it's hard, though.
Mm-hmm. And I know that feeling, you know, of needing to let go of something or to kind of rearrange things in your life a little bit to make the space and make the room. And it is hard. And whether it's, you know, a part-time job, whether it's, commitments at home, whether it's volunteering things like you have, you know, with the kids and with school and stuff, no matter what it is, it's hard because you're letting go of something. And not only is it hard, it's also scary because you think, well, what if I let this go and something doesn't work out the way I want it to or the way I'm hoping or whatever, and I've let go of all these other things and I've made all these changes. Like, it's just a scary thing because you're stepping into the unknown and you're letting go of something that is familiar and almost a sense of comfort in a way.
Yes. And add into that not wanting to let other people down.
Right. Which I know is a huge thing for you. Because you, if you let go of some of your commitments with the school, you feel like you're letting down people who are depending on you to run certain programs and take care of certain things like you've been doing.
Yes, and it's hard. It's hard to just start to think about it, but then you get to that space where you're like, okay, I am being offered a choice here, and I either take it and go do cool things with my business, or I don't, and I stay where I am. Neither option is bad, but it just depends on what you want at that time. And as the universe is so fantastically awesome, I mentioned to one of my mommy friends that I think I'm going to have to let this part go. And she said, oh, I'll do it. Like, yes.
That was the next thing I was going to say, is that what helped me is coming to the realization with certain areas that there were people that have done it before me, and there's going to be people who are going to do it after me. So it's okay to let go or change things.
And it's also okay to ask for help, which we find challenging.
Yes. I swear it's in our DNA. I swear.
I think it's in the female DNA.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, with the male DNA, they can't stop and ask for directions.
So
females cannot stop what we're doing and ask for help.
Nope. Although, I think sometimes my husband can ask for it. No, he can. Depends on what it is. But anyway, it doesn't matter. We're not talking about him. We're talking about us. So let's just say, Well, and I just, it just feels like sometimes, not sometimes, all the time, as women, we take on all these roles, and then we're juggling. We can't even call it balancing because there's no balance involved. It's juggling.
I agree.
I think the trick is to figure out what is really, really, really important to you and how you can make that happen, and then go from there to figure out what you can let go if you have to. Does that make sense?
Totally.
I say this because it's what I've been doing the last week.
and
it's not easy.
No, it's not at all. It's not easy to step into the change. It's not easy to let go of anything. It's not easy to juggle everything. It's none of it. No aspect of it is easy.
Nope.
And it's funny that today we are talking about this as I spent my day still kind of in vacation mode in my mind, just maybe in my body too, because I didn't have much motivation to do too much. But I sat here thinking, I have two new classes that started today, so I kind of need to get going on that. I have a week's worth of shows on the DVR that I need to catch up on. I have 5 loads of laundry that need to be, something needs to be done with them. Because usually I leave my clean clothes in the clean clothes hamper. I hate folding and putting away clothes. But there were 5 loads. So it was piled.
Needed the hamper.
Right. Well, no, I have a separate one for the dirty clothes.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And you know, then it was like, well, then I probably should get some dishes done, and I need to get in the shower, and I need to wrap up some stuff with a Tastefully Simple party, and I need to get some stuff together and, you know, let people know about my website and about the shop I'm going to be working at. It's like all this stuff is going in my head, and when all of that happens, I just shut down and just do nothing. Because
then you make
sometimes I just don't know where to start, so I just don't start.
You just don't start. But when your brain is going in so many different directions, that is also, I find, an indication that you need a self-care day.
Yes. And that's what I kept reminding myself is, you know what? Take the day to relax. If you get something done, you get it done. If you don't, no big deal. You have the rest of the week.
Yes. True. Today was a holiday here, so we were kind of still in holiday mode.
Well, I'm just in holiday mode.
I did get laundry done, though. Yuck. Oh, and I vacuumed. Oh, I cleaned. What am I saying? I wasn't in holiday mode. I did have a nap, though, so that was all good. So I'm in the sunny spot on my love seat having a nap, and when I went to sleep, I had Cordell laying beside me cuddled. When I woke up, I had an orange cat beside me cuddled and the Manx cat on top of me cuddled. I'm like, how did that happen? I missed it all. I must have been really asleep.
Oh, that's funny.
That was very entertaining. I'm like, holy, huh? Amazing what happens when you have a nap.
That's the one thing I didn't do today, surprisingly. For as lazy of a day as I've had,
you didn't have
a
nap.
But I wasn't tired. No, I wasn't tired. It was okay.
There you go. So, with, you know, thinking about the show, and I had to rearrange my life because of the opportunities that are coming up for me, I realized that one thing I was doing that I had to stop was running to town all the time. And a lot of it was for my volunteer activities. I just had it, like, set up so that I was running every day. And town is only 10 minutes away, but it's never just 10 minutes, right? It's always, like, an hour or two. And I don't like going to town every day. It does not work well in my energy. I need to stay home and have days where I'm totally on the ranch. Lucky for me, though, calving started this last week, too. So that was a really good heads up to say, Shannon, you cannot run to town every day because you need to be home checking the cows.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome because then I realized how often I was doing it and how excited I was if there was a day that I didn't have to run to town, which was rare, and I don't like it. Sure, I got my beautiful new truck. That doesn't mean I want to be in it every day.
I know that feeling.
I don't like it. But it also, I didn't realize I was doing it until I went, whoa, wait a minute. Why am I doing this? Because I could have arranged things better, right? Like I could have tried to put two things in one day instead of me just finding a spare minute and saying, yeah, I'll come and do that then. Right?
Right.
I wasn't very organized.
And like you, I have the same need to simply just be at home for a day and not have to run anywhere or basically not have to encounter or interact with people other than my husband.
Yes.
And my cats. And I don't think people realize, especially for those of us that are empathic, I don't think people realize how important it is to have at least one day. I try to put one day a week. It's not always necessary to be one day a week, but one day a week is very, very helpful to be able to do
very.
That.
And to have that one day a week where at least part of it, you can have some alone time if possible.
Right. Because my husband will say to me, well, we're just going to be at so-and-so's house. You know, it's not like you're doing anything active. You can still be relaxing. And it's so hard to get him to understand that while my body is relaxing, my energy isn't because I'm surrounded by people. And I can't relax because of that.
Yes. Yes. It's very important for everybody that's empathic. And if you don't know if you're empathic or not, when you're home alone and your family comes home and they walk through the door and you know what kind of day they've had, guess what? You're empathic.
Mm-hmm.
And
or Google what is an empath, and you'll find yourself agreeing with everything that you find. Oh, that happens.
Absolutely.
To me.
And even if you weren't empathic before, I found in 2012 a lot of my clients that I'd seen before that came back, they were all starting to be very sensitive and empathic.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be everybody.
Yes. Which part of me is so thankful for, so that more people can understand what it is that we go through. But at the same time, I feel like there's also this huge need to kind of educate people on how to protect yourself when you're empathic, because you get drained so easy and quickly, and you don't always know what it is that's going on or what's happening. And so I think it's important to get an understanding of it and find ways to protect yourself and keep your energy level at its most optimum. Is that the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, sure. Basically, you have to pay attention to yourself. Energetically, how are you feeling? Are you feeling like, oh, do I really have to go do this? Or are you feeling like, yeah, I'm ready. I can go do this. Because don't you find, Virginia, that that's a big indication of where your energy's at?
Yes.
And sometimes even when you're feeling like, oh, I don't want to, you still go do it and have a good time. But you also know that pretty soon you better throw in a self-care day.
Or you might end up sick.
Yes. Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
When we don't pay attention and we
yep.
ignore those signals,
mm-hmm.
pretty soon we're on the couch because we're sick.
And that's not fun.
No.
So I had posted the link for our show on my Facebook page and, you know, invited anyone to comment on tips that they had for juggling it all and what to do as women that naturally wear several hats.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Nicole said, patience and organization. And I know Nicole very well. She's a restaurant manager, so she works about 50, 55 hours a week. She's married. She has three kids. Two of them are closer in age. I'm not exactly sure of their ages, but probably like, I don't know, 9 and 11 or something, and they play sports. And then she's got a four-year-old. And yet, right. So patience and organization is huge for her world. But then I asked her, how does she take care of herself? And what does she do? Or does she do anything? Or does she just let her needs and wants kind of fall by the wayside? And she openly said that she puts her needs second. But she's working on it because she knows that she needs to be well to perform all of her roles well, which I think fits so perfectly into what we're talking about, where if you don't take care of yourself, you end up sick. It's just how it works.
It is, yes.
I don't make the rules, people. I just live here.
It's true, because how often have you said, oh, I just need a day off, and then pretty soon you get a day off, but it's not the way you hoped.
Right. And that's a clear indication that you're doing too much.
Uh-huh. And that the universe is listening to you.
Right.
So, yeah, turn that around. Manifest some other things.
Right, like a day off of doing what you want instead of laying on the couch sick.
Yes. Absolutely. So, with all the roles that we take on, I just lost where I was going with that.
Okay.
And turkey for supper is probably making me sleepy.
Let's talk about some of the roles themselves. I mean,
okay,
you and I are both wives, which
yep.
that in itself, it carries, that's like an umbrella. Because there's
yes.
so many roles that go with it. Because naturally, we're kind of the homemakers. You know, we clean while our husbands clean as well. But we primarily do the cleaning, the cooking, the grocery shopping, the checkbooks, the bills. You know, we primarily do that stuff. Our husbands, I'm sure yours does, mine does help out. And he's very helpful with so much stuff. But I feel the brunt of it is mostly on our minds, where it's a constant thought or worry or concern or something going on in our minds. So to me, that makes me feel more busier with it than doing it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. So we've got the wife thing. Then
yes.
you are a mother.
Yes.
I'm not yet, but I have animals. You have animals. You have an entire ranch of animals.
Yeah.
So then we have, you know, employees. If we have a business where we have employees, which you and I don't right
no.
now. But I am an employee part-time outside of the home.
Right.
We both run businesses. I mean, mine is just starting, but I also run a business as a Tastefully Simple consultant. You run your goddess page and your readings and your hypnosis. And you, I mean, it's
a store.
So, that's what I meant. I said page. I meant store.
There is, because every role you have has pieces to it.
Right.
And I volunteer at the school a lot. And, yeah, there's just a lot that we have going on. And so don't you find, though, that some days you have to stop what you're doing and focus on another role because you need to get things done because you're sort of dropping the ball on one of them for a while.
Mm-hmm. That's why I make lists. I have a list of everything. I have a grocery, you know, anytime I run out of something in the house that we need, I write it down on the dry erase board immediately. Because if I don't, I'm going to forget. There's too much going on in my mind for me to mentally keep track of everything. So if I write it all down, it leaves more space in my brain for other
nice.
Things. And then I can just go and refer to the list when it comes time to do the grocery shopping or, you know, get on any emails out or phone calls or, you know what I mean? I have a list for all the things I need to do.
Good plan.
Sometimes I lose the list.
Yeah, I write out the list. Yeah, lose them. I delegate my grocery shopping, so I'm good there. My husband does it.
Oh, I have to because my husband likes shopping too much. So... he will come home with stuff that we don't need, and he's the shopper in the family. I don't like shopping. He loves shopping, so I will go grocery shopping because I don't mind that. But I like
nice.
not have him do it.
Gotcha. It's not something you can delegate.
Yeah, not so much.
So much.
Because I'll have milk on there and he'll come home with like a gallon of chocolate milk instead of regular milk or something.
Okay, that's just funny, but yeah. It's not worth it.
No.
I have learned when I give Brent the grocery list, if I need something specific, like a specific flavor or a specific item, I have to make sure I say that I need that. Don't find something similar and buy it because it won't work because he will do that. Just thinking, well, she needs something. No. Had to learn that the hard way, but it's all good now.
Well, he tries.
Husband's in training, right?
Right. Well,
so what are some of the other rules? Pardon?
Well, I was going to say that's the thing, too, is if I needed any type of feminine anything, my husband will not get it. So I'll just go to the store myself.
That's funny. I don't think I've had to ask Brent to get that. I go to town every once in a while, so I do get those things. I do stock up when I go.
Well, that's
too
nice
funny. Yeah. He has said that he will, but he'd probably rather drive me in.
But at least he said he will.
Yes.
You know, Ken won't. He's like, I don't even know what anything is. You have to do it.
I'm not going down that aisle.
However, I do have to tell this very hilarious story. While we were on vacation, there's four of us in the car. Three are female and my husband. And we had found these ginormous Honeycrisp apples. And so we brought one with. We were heading out for one of our daily adventures. And we brought the apple with in the car, and it was so huge. I was like, well, we'll just somehow split it up in the car. And so my one friend, Monica, pulled out her little pocket knife that she had never used before. It's extremely sharp. And we decided we would cut the apple with this knife. And we were doing so well. I cut some pieces. Ken cut some pieces. Then there wasn't too much of the apple left, and he gave it back to me. And as I'm cutting a piece, I slice my thumb.
No.
Nice, deep. It didn't hurt. I just saw the skin tear, and I saw the blood just start flowing out. And I was like, Ken goes, oh, shit, she cut herself. So Monica grabs some tissues and hands it to me, and I'm holding it over. I'm holding it over the cut. Ken says, don't you have any tampons or maxi pads or something? And naturally they did. My sister-in-law always has some maxi pads in her console. So we pull one out, and I wrap it around myself from the bleeding. But the best part was that a car with three females, not one of us thought of that, but my husband.
That is hilarious. Good for him.
And he said it's because he always remembers seeing them in his sister's center console. So that's what made him think of it. We just all thought it was so funny that the one male in the car thinks of a maxi pad for the bleeding on my thumb.
The only boy in the room. So funny.
Oh, it was. And my thumb is healing quite nicely because we pulled over to a Walgreens and we got some butterfly Band-Aids against my sister-in-law's better judgment of, let's take you to an urgent care because you probably need stitches. It was a very deep cut. But my theory was, let's catch it right away and kind of butterfly it together so the skin will just naturally adhere and it'll be fine. And it's, so far, it's knock on wood. So far, so good. Healing quite
You're
nicely.
Funny.
My theory kind of worked, I think, because it now just looks like a surface wound.
Nice.
It doesn't. You can't even tell it was really, really deep and really, really nasty. Oh, that was my fun story, though.
It is funny, yeah. How did we get on feminine protection?
Because my husband won't go to the store to buy any, but that's the first thing he thinks of when my thumb is cut wide open and bleeding like crazy.
Oh, so hilarious.
He's probably hating me right now if he can overhear me talking.
Huh. Nah.
I'll get all excited.
Like, okay. Back to the show.
Yes. So you were asking something about other roles? Is that what you were asking?
Yeah, I don't know. It's all gone.
Oh,
I was going to say now that a lot of my clients lately are having this issue trying to figure out how to pursue their own dreams without, I guess, disrupting everybody else. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a trick, right?
Yeah.
Because we find that other people expect certain things from us, right? And so when we want to make these changes or do things differently, you're going to run into a little resistance.
Naturally.
So how do we get through that?
Me personally, I just push through it. If it's something that I know deep within myself that it's something I need to do or a change I need to make, or it involves kind of stepping into who I am meant to be, I do it. But I don't have the intentions of hurting anyone else. But if that happens, I kind of take a step back from that person that's giving me the resistance, and I allow them their space to work through whatever feelings they're having or that they need to work through.
Good plan.
I call them fit. I say that, you know, there's people around you who are going to kind of throw a fit about what you're doing, and it's not, it has nothing to do with you. It's them.
It is them.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's because we've done so much for so long, or this certain role or something, and so they've come to depend or rely on it, and they don't want to have to face change.
True. I do the same, but I also want to add in, I'm sure you do this too, is that I have my network of people that I trust,
mm-hmm.
that I run things by,
mm-hmm.
so that I have this supportive core group of people before I will leap forward.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think I do that without realizing that's what I'm doing.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it's just a fact of life that when you leap forward and pursue your dreams, not everybody's going to be on board.
Right.
There's nothing you can do about that, and you can keep yourself small and not pursue in order to maintain all your relationships if that's what makes you happy.
Right.
Doesn't work for us, so we just go ahead. And deal with the fallout as it happens, because really,
right. You
don't have any choice.
And it'll all work out, especially when you realize that they're not against you bettering yourself, or they're not against your dreams, they're just against the change that is about to happen, because it's changing an aspect of their lives as well. And just because we are ready to embrace and step into change doesn't mean that everyone else around us is.
So true.
And that's not necessarily a role that I want to take on, so I step back and away from it.
Well, and a part of what is going on also is you're showing them aspects of themselves that they may not like. So their choice
right.
then is to deal with it or not, right? That is not up to us.
No.
All this sort of stuff has been on my mind lately because my business goddess power, I know there's stuff coming up, some opportunities, and I want to just get myself in a mindset to be ready. So I was doing some research and chatting with a few friends, and one of my girlfriends sent me to a TED Talk with Sheryl Sandberg, I think it is. Make sure I say her name right. She's the COO of Facebook. And she did a TED Talk. Sheryl Sandberg, yeah. About why we have too few women leaders. And so she was talking about the statistics of women in business and how it's so much less than the men, right? And how we seem to have this pattern of deliberately making ourselves small or sitting off to the side or not letting our voices be heard. And then naturally, we don't end up in leadership roles because they don't even notice us, right?
Right.
And when we do let our voices be heard and take that stand and be seen, we are not liked.
Mm-hmm.
When men become successful, their likability goes up. When women become successful, the likability goes down. Now, isn't that freaking ridiculous?
Yes. And you mentioned all of this in your blog that you just wrote about. And I was sitting there reading, thinking that exact thing. Like, this is absolutely ridiculous. Why? First of all, why does it happen that way? And second of all, is it because as women, we tend to be cattier? And then why is that? Why can we not be supportive and empowering of each other like men are? Men congratulate and support and empower each other to, you know, go for it, man. Go do your, you know what I mean? Like, there's always that encouragement. With women, you don't find that as much. You'll get the fake, oh, that's great. And then the second you turn around, it's, can you even believe that she's going to try that? And why do we do that to each other?
I don't know why. That's one of my little soapboxes, and I'm sure it's going to be one of the talks I create, because it's not, I don't even know that we're aware we're doing it. Part of it, I think, is because when a woman is successful, it shows other women that it's possible, and then they either have to start walking their talk or shut up, right?
Right.
And it's easy to say, oh, well, she does that because of this and this and this. Well, I don't have that, so I can't do that. Like sabotage yourself and talk yourself out of something you may want to do or think have thought about, then, I don't know. It just totally lost my thought. Because it just makes me mad, and I want to say this nicely.
But I think it also kind of goes in line with what we were just talking about with people around us giving resistance. And it's, we're by kind of succeeding or, you know, taking a leadership role and being successful in what we do, are they seeing an aspect of us that they don't like because they're not doing it? So then they can't be supportive because they're not, they're upset with themselves because they're not taking a leap to step into what it is that they want to do and succeed and, you know, be in a leadership role. So instead of supporting us, they're going to shun us.
I think so. Well, but, you know, I don't know if this is an advantage for us or not, but being that we're psychic, we already go through that, you know, we're careful about who we tell. We are aware that not everybody's going to like us for it. So I think it's going to be helpful for us moving forward and taking those leaps of faith because we already get the backlash. You know, I'm a reverend. I officiate weddings. I can't tell you how many times I've been said to, oh, so you're a marriage commissioner? Oh, yeah, the marriage commissioner here who's doing this wedding? No, I'm a reverend. I went through the classes. I passed everything. I have an official little card that says I am clergy. And they're like, oh, well, with which church? The Canadian International Metaphysical Ministry. Actually, I don't ever say that. I say the International Metaphysical Ministry because that is the thing. And they're like, oh. And they just give me this, like, they just shut down and shut off and want to walk away. That they don't want me to be that. They want me to be a marriage commissioner or just a got it off the Internet for the Day officiant. They're offended that I'm an actual reverend. Isn't that ridiculous?
Very. Because that's something that I will be facing in about a year or so. So I'm kind of glad that you just gave me a heads up.
Well, and I haven't even done that many weddings yet, and I've already ran into it. It's like, really, people? Oh, well. You just have to have a bit of a thick skin and just go with it. I mean, already going through what we've gone through, being psychic and being open about that, does give us an advantage because we know how to navigate these waters. But
right.
Let me tell you, it's still very irritating. Because they have this belief or this understanding, and I blow that out of the water, and they don't know how to handle it.
Right. That's so fascinating. Like, what is it about what you do that bothers them so much? You know what I mean? Like,
it's got to be energetic, right?
Right.
Well, I don't act like a reverend, I guess. What they picture a reverend should be.
Right.
Well, and I didn't have my name tag on anymore. This was at one of the weddings, and someone had said to me, oh, so how are you here? How do you know the bride or the groom? And I said, well, actually, I'm the reverend, and I married them. And they just completely got flustered and freaked out and were, like, kind of ashamed of what they just said. And I'm like, it's okay. I said, you're probably at the back. You probably couldn't see me. But they just totally flipped out, kind of, right? And they were all flustered. Because they just would never have expected that.
And that's what I like about you and what you do and, you know, what I'm studying to do and what so many other people in the classes with me are studying to do. We're normal, everyday people.
Yes.
We don't have to, I mean, you said it perfectly. Being a psychic, we've kind of gone through this. We don't have to fit the role of, you know, wearing a turban on our head, you know, being draped in different jewels and, you know, sitting in front of a crystal ball. We don't have to be that to be psychic. Actually, we're not that to be psychic. So we don't have to be, you know, stiff upper lip or stuffy or, you know, locked in a room for 22 hours a day or, you know, taking vows of silence or anything that goes along with any preconceived notion of holding some kind of title in a religion or spiritual aspect. We don't have to fit that image in someone else's mind in order to do it.
Yes. And as doing what we do and doing it the way we do is breaking the stereotypes. I mean, part
and
of it's really funny. Like, the people, the way they react.
Right.
And yet, you know, there's other people that find out that knew me a long time ago and find out I'm a reverend, and they think it's so cool that I do this. To them, they don't have, like, a preconceived notion or... they just think it's fun.
Right. And then that's another thing that we have to add to our roles, because now we're stereotype breakers.
Yes. That's always been one of my life past life purposes, is to break the stereotypes. I love it. Not even secretly. I just love it. Because, you know what? So, okay, here's another one. This Akashic Record reading class that I just took. Oh, by the way, it was awesome. We'll have to talk later, Virginia. Anyway, when I was telling people I was taking it, they're like, wow, that's really cool. I thought you had to be really special to do that. No wonder you can do it. I'm like, no, anybody can take the class. Well, I thought you could only certain people with, I don't know, green eyes could take it. Like, I mean, they didn't say that, but it was kind of like that. Like, oh, you had to be a certain, you know, very special person to be able to do that. And even someone I did homework with said, oh, you should just say yes to that and make it a big marketing thing. And I'm like, wow, that just flies in the face of everything that I am about and teach and do.
Mm-hmm.
But they have, I've come across it a few times with Akashic Record reading people. They have a notion about it that only a few people in the whole wide world can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not true. I guess it's like being psychic, right?
Right. I think we all kind of have it and we can all access it, but it might require certain training or fine-tuning.
Yes, and the thing is you can access it and get the information. It does not mean you have to go set up a business and do it for other people. You could do it just for your own self.
Right.
Because it also takes a certain type of person to be able to take this information and put it out there for everybody, right?
Right. But I have to say, I think Akashic Record readings are so flippin' amazing.
They are.
They are. I had one a few years ago, and it still sticks with me to this day. They
cool.
are so fascinating. And fun.
It is fun. It's a different type of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it, yeah. I guess I found that taking the class, I mean, like I told you before, I've worked with the records before. I just wasn't formally working in the records, and now mm-hmm. I'm formally going in the records, and it's cool. Yeah.
And it's sounds like it's something that could work so well for you with past life regression sessions and things of that nature.
Yes.
I see it as being something that you can tie in together very well, which is just another role to take on.
Yeah. See, and I wonder why I was having trouble juggling, because I added classes in with everything else I'm doing. Really, Shannon? Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was going through our list of roles, I didn't even add in student to either one of us.
Yes.
And not only student, but teacher, because you teach classes.
I do.
I'm about to start teaching classes. Like, there's so many things that I think we do so much that sometimes we forget some of the things that we do.
Mm-hmm. We just put it all, like, as business stuff or...
Right.
Yeah. We just... Because, you know, it just all fits together like a puzzle. So...
That's a good analogy. I love puzzles.
Me too. They make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
So after watching that Sheryl Sandberg talk and realizing how widespread it is, I'm going to start researching statistics about it. But my goal would be for women to find ways that they're comfortable with, but to step into their power even more and be more leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And quit bashing each other about it.
That's a pretty good goal to have.
But you know what? It's not just the women, though. We can go there, but it's also the men, because in her talk, if you listen to it, she was at this pitch meeting, and the people had been in there over a year, and she said to them, like, it was time for a break, and he was saying where the men's washroom was, and she says, like, where's the ladies? And he says, I have no idea. She's like, really? She said, oh, they must have just moved in. And he said, no, I've been here a year. And she said, am I the only woman that's ever been in this office to pitch? And he says, yeah, probably. Or the only one that ever had to go to the bathroom.
Wow.
Isn't that horrible?
Yes.
And she also gave an example of how when men are successful and you ask them how they did it, they'll say, oh, it's because they're awesome. It's because I'm awesome. Women will say, oh, it's because I had this person to support me and this person to support me, and I had such good luck, and this came about. We give all these excuses and reasons why we're successful that are outside of ourselves, whereas the men will give reasons why they're successful just because they are who they are.
Right.
So now, if anybody asks you how come you're so successful or how you did it, everybody just say, because I'm awesome. The end.
That's it.
That's all.
Virginia, how do you maintain, how have you maintained straight A's for a year now? Because I'm awesome.
Yeah, because you're awesome. Yep. Don't say, oh, because I study a lot or because I'm a natural student or I just, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm awesome. The end.
Actually, the funny thing about that is what I say.
Awesome.
Like, and I'll say, did you want to see my grades? Oh, did you see? I'm just good.
Mine is, I usually say, oh, I'm just cool like that.
Honestly, though, I've naturally always done well in school. I've always been, you know, a very smart, intelligent person.
No, remember?
Very well.
No, just awesome.
I'm just, I am awesome.
See,
I'm
look
saying.
At you.
I don't want people to think I'm full of myself here.
No, that's not the point. We're just supposed to say we're awesome, the end. See?
Okay.
There's a good example, though.
No.
Men
isn't.
Will shout their accomplishments. Mm-hmm. As women, we whisper our accomplishments.
Do you think we're just naturally more modest? We're humble?
No. I think we just are not in the habit of celebrating our own selves. We can say we're more modest and humble, but okay. How's that going for us?
Not so well.
Yeah, no. No. I think it's a pattern. Sue says, we are taught to be meek. Yes. Look how often you will find someone who's doing amazing things and you don't know about it. You say, wow, she must be so humble. I didn't know all that. No, she's missing the boat because she should be shouting out her accomplishments. But if she does, she will get criticized. And, you know, it's just something that sucks.
Yeah.
But we should be because there's a lot of women doing a lot of amazing things and nobody knows about it. Look at ourselves. I mean, I've taken a lot of education to be able to fine-tune what I can do so I can offer it in better ways, and so have you. We should be celebrating that all the time.
This is true. You're right.
I mean, we don't just sit around, wait for things to happen. We're out there doing and being, but nobody, I mean, we don't really talk about it.
This is true. And look at, I think this show is a good example. I mean, we've been doing this for a year now, and, I mean, I don't know any blog talk statistics or any of that stuff, and I'm sure there's been other shows that have lasted way longer and plenty of shows that have lasted way less time. But this is something we do. We put energy into it. We put work into it. We put thought into it. We put our time into it. And how often are we, quote, shouting about it? I mean, yeah, we share the information on Facebook and on Twitter. You know, you blog way more than I do when you mention it in the blog. But
not very often, though.
But you do mention it, you know. So
we do.
How often do we bring it up in normal conversation?
Exactly. Because don't we feel like we're bragging?
Yes, and that's what I was going to say a little bit ago, is that when you were saying we should be shouting it, we should be, but I'm so worried about having the energy that I'm bragging that I think I take a step back.
And we need to stop doing that. Because our show is doing amazing. I'm always stunned when we get the statistics, because really? Because we don't ever, we forget to advertise. We forget to talk about it. I mean, I talk about it a little, but I don't, you know,
right.
I forget to send out the links to everybody. I have it on, you know, some of my information, but I don't promote it the way I could.
Neither do I.
And, part of it is because I figure people want to find me, they will. And that part is true to a point. But what about the self-confidence part where we say, hey, you know what, it's pretty cool.
Right.
I do actually bring it up a lot. I tell people I have a radio show.
Well, I kind of do too.
Not at the beginning, though. I mean, it took a while to be comfortable with it, probably because we thought if we sounded like dorks, we don't really want people to know. That's what I always ask people when they listen to me. I sound like a dork because I can't listen to myself because I think I sound like a dork. They always say, no, you don't. And even if they're lying, I love it. Don't ever tell me I'm a dork.
I'm okay with being a dork.
But it is true that as women, we tend to downplay our stuff.
Yes.
And, you know, we need to look at that and see if it's still working for us or not. Doesn't mean we have to go crazy and be pushy because that's not in our style. But,
right.
You know, the really successful women on the internet all have marketing backgrounds.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they have good information and what they're doing is good. But if you listen to them and research their backgrounds, you'll find a lot of them have marketing or PR. And so that's how they get themselves known, right?
Mm-hmm. So you know the tricks of the trade.
Yeah. Yes. Fascinating, though, because, I mean, a regular person may think they can do that, but I can't market myself like they can because I don't know how. And it's not a natural
right.
talent for me. I can tell you when they're lying, though. That is a natural talent. Oh, too funny.
So I just have to hope that my short stint in the promotions and marketing department at a radio station will work in my favor down the line.
Yes. Yes. Take what you learned and reframe it to work for you.
Right.
I mean, I took a marketing class in college, but really, not my thing. I can. I shouldn't say that, because I can if I want to or if I, you know, take a leap of faith and market myself some way.
But I think that's what works, too, in our favor for people like you and I, is we can kind of tune in and see if this is something that may work for us or may not. And maybe
yeah.
not necessarily that, but also we pay attention to those signs and those nudges and those, you know, sparks of ideas of how to market all of us that all of a sudden just come to you.
True.
You recognize that as a sign and you go and find a way to apply it to yourself and watch it magically work.
Yes, that is true. That is true. I've taken some leaps of faith and sent out some emails and things have worked out better than I ever imagined. So I think we just do it in a non-traditional way.
Right.
But we could shout out a little more if we wanted.
I agree.
Or not. I don't know. I think it's finding what works for you, right? And deciding. Mm-hmm. Oh, Blog Talk tells me 60 seconds. Deciding what we truly want. Like, truly
right.
want. And then being ambitious about it.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with being ambitious and going after something you have always dreamed of or something that's a deep desire within you. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. As long as you're not intending to hurt anyone and you're still taking care of yourself, I don't see anything wrong with being a successful, ambitious, go get 'em woman.
Mm-mm.
And I'm talking
because
to you people too.
Well, and because you get to do it in a way that's comfortable for you, right? Oh, Blog Talk's telling me that we're almost done. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yes, thank you.
And
thanks to Molly for filling in last week while I was on vacation.
Yes. Now that you're back and all refreshed, we'll have to decide what we're talking about next week because I don't remember or we didn't decide. We'll figure it out.
Yes, but it will be about being psychic because that's our...
Oh, yeah. We do know. Aren't we going to share some stories?
I believe so.
Yay. Kate, well, we're going to talk about some interesting psychic experiences that we've had. That's what we decided for next week. Because sometimes you have to, like, just shake your head. Right, Virginia?
Yes.
Okay, well, good night, everybody.
Good night.
See you next
Thanks
week.
For listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.